President Trump ordered the closure of the Palestinian Liberation Organization office in Washington, D.C. this week. The group, known as the PLO, is recognized by many countries as the legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. The move is being seen as an attempt to put pressure on Palestinians to negotiate on a plan for peace in the Middle East. Karen DeYoung is an associate editor and senior national security correspondent at the Washington Post. Karen, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
We'll talk about what the administration said about this decision. Why did they say they were shutting down this office effectively?
Well, this was announced by the State Department and in a speech Monday by John Bolton, President Trump's national security advisor, who gave two reasons. He said that the PLO had not taken steps to advance meaningful negotiations with Israel, between Israel and the Palestinians. And he said that the PLO, which is an observer member of the United Nations, had lodged complaints against Israel with the International Criminal Court, which is a body located in The Hague that investigates war crimes and human rights abuses that is not recognized by the United States.
Can you talk about what this office is? It isn't technically an embassy or consulate, right? So what was the status of it?
No, it's not an embassy. And the United States, of course, and virtually no one else recognizes a Palestinian state. And the PLO is kind of an umbrella group that recognizes the Palestinian people. And it's long been recognized as such by the United Nations and by many other countries. You know, its status was kind of downgraded with the Oslo Accords 25 years ago and various agreements that established an actual government in the West Bank, which is run by something called the Palestinian Authority. But Mahmoud Abbas, who's president of the Palestinian Authority, is also chairman of the PLO. And so this office was opened in Washington, again, as a result of the Oslo Accords, in which Israel and the PLO agreed to recognize each other's legitimate right to exist, and was kind of a time of incipient peace that never really materialized. But nonetheless, the PLO office here was authorized at that time. And it's, again, it's not an embassy, but it gives some representation by the Palestinians in Washington, and it gives them a vehicle to be in contact with Congress, essentially speak to the American people.
Can you talk about other recent steps from the Trump administration regarding the Palestinians? They've, for example, cut some funding for various refugee and hospital services, right?
Yes, well, this has been something that started late last year, as the administration said it was at some point going to release a peace plan, a proposal for peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. The first thing it did was last December, President Trump announced that the United States would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Of course, the United States and virtually every other country have always had their embassies in Israel and Tel Aviv to avoid making a declaration on Jerusalem, which was always supposed to be a subject of negotiation with the Palestinians because the Palestinians say their capital should be there. So Trump said, no, we recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. More recently, the administration cut financial aid that it gives to the Palestinian Authority, the governing body on the West Bank, and then announced a couple of weeks ago that it was no longer going to be a contributor to the United Nations program that takes care of about 5 million Palestinian refugees scattered around the Middle East. It announced that it was no longer going to give money to a group of hospitals in Jerusalem that primarily serve Palestinian patients and basically sort of cut off the Palestinians from any U.S. assistance.
Talking to Karen DeYoung from The Washington Post, talking about the Trump administration's moves on various Palestinian issues, the latest shutting down an office of the Palestinian Liberation Organization in Washington. Karen, what's been the Palestinian response from the PLO and or Palestinian Authority?
Well, the Palestinian Authority said immediately after the Jerusalem announcement that they would no longer speak to the United States about a peace process because they didn't consider the United States an honest broker anymore. Again, this so-called peace plan has been awaited now for throughout the Trump administration. I mean, Trump said at the very beginning of the administration that he thought it was something that would come out before the end of his first year. It never has come out, and there are lots of charges that they're basically trying to squeeze the Palestinians from a pro-Israel perspective in order to kind of, according to the Palestinians, sort of rig the peace process before it even gets started. The administration says, you know, how can the Palestinians refuse to talk to us about a plan they haven't even seen? And the Palestinians say, we don't need to see the plan. We've seen all these other things you do, and you're obviously not an honest broker.
And it seems at this point like this could be a never-ending cycle. Palestinians say they're not going to negotiate. The White House takes steps to squeeze them into negotiations, which the Palestinians read as bad faith on the Americans' part. It just is a potentially never-ending cycle, right?
Exactly. Well, I think, you know, if you listen to the administration, eventually they will come out with a plan. What it will say and whether it will be acceptable to either side, we don't know because nobody knows what's in it yet.
Do we know who's crafting this plan for the administration?
The lead role is by Jared Kushner, who's a senior White House advisor and President Trump's son-in-law, aided by Jason Greenblatt, who was brought into the White House. He was a bankruptcy lawyer in New York for the Trump administration, the Trump organization, Trump's company, and he was brought in as head negotiator. And so it's basically the two of them, along with Daniel Friedman, who's the administration's ambassador to Israel.
Are Palestinians looking to other parts of the international community to serve as an arbiter here if they don't have faith in what the U.S. is doing?
Well, I think that they're trying to get Arab countries who have traditionally been supporters of theirs kind of put pressure on the administration. The administration is putting pressure on those same Arab countries to be more friendly to Israel on grounds that they all don't like Iran. I think that the Palestinians are talking to European countries. The United Nations is trying to get other countries to cough up money for refugees that the United States, which previously was the largest individual donor to the refugee accounts, to cough up some more money. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but I think basically, one of the results has been more hardship for Palestinians in the West Bank and certainly in Gaza.
Briefly, what breaks this impasse?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. You know, I mean, as I said, at some point, presumably the administration will come out with its plan, and that will then give everybody a basis to actually talk in substantive terms about what's going on. So far, again, this plan, assuming it's been written, which the administration says it has been very closely held. None of the people who are parties to it know what it says or are supposed to be parties to it. So I think that's kind of the next step. And there's not much more that the administration can do to put the squeeze on the Palestinians. So I think that will be the next thing that we're waiting for. But nobody knows when it's going to happen.
Karen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That was Karen DeYoung, Associate Editor and Senior National Security Correspondent for The Washington Post, with us to talk about the Trump administration's decision to close the PLO office in Washington, D.C.